Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Memento Mori, The Art of Contemplating Death to Live a Better Life by Joanna Evanstein explores a paradox many people sense but rarely practice. Facing mortality can make daily life feel more vivid, purposeful, and humane. Evanstein, known for her work curating death culture and funerary art, approaches the subject through history, visual culture, philosophy, and contemporary reflection rather than through shock or gloom. The book traces how earlier eras used memento mori objects, images, and rituals to keep life's limits in view, and how modern societies often hide death behind medical systems. Euphemistine explores awfulist by revisiting older traditions alongside present-day movements that seek healthier relationships with dying and grief. The book frames death awareness as a skill that can be cultivated. It invites readers to consider how acknowledging impermanence can sharpen priorities, deepen relationships, and reduce fear, while also offering a broader cultural lens on why death has been aestheticized, moralized, and ritualized across time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, memento mori as a cultural practice, not a morbid obsession. A central theme is the distinction between dwelling on death and integrating mortality awareness into ordinary life. The memento mori tradition historically functioned as a practical reminder that time is finite, encouraging ethical conduct, gratitude, and perspective. Rather than treating skulls, hourglasses, vanitas, still lifes, or funerary motifs as mere Gothic decoration, the book positions them as tools used by communities to keep values aligned with reality. This cultural framing matters because modern readers often associate death contemplation with pessimism, yet many societies treated it as a stabilizing habit. Evanstein's approach highlights how shared symbols and repeated reminders can normalize the fact of dying and make conversations about loss less isolating. When death is acknowledged, it can reduce the intensity of taboo and allow people to prepare emotionally and practically. The topic also emphasizes that mortality reflection can coexist with joy, humor, beauty, and creativity. By understanding memento mori as a socially embedded practice, readers can reinterpret uncomfortable imagery as an invitation to live intentionally, not as an invitation to despair. Secondly, art, objects, and visual language that teach impermanence, the book examines how art and material culture have carried death awareness across centuries, making abstract truths tangible. Visual traditions such as vanitas imagery, cemetery sculpture, reliquaries, memorial jewelry, and other commemorative objects helped people externalize grief and rehearse acceptance. This topic explores why the aesthetic dimension matters. Images and artifacts work on the emotions and the imagination, often reaching people more directly than arguments or self-help slogans. Evanstein's perspective suggests that the human need to symbolize death is not a flaw to outgrow, but a method of meaning-making. Art can help people approach mortality indirectly, creating a safe distance for contemplation while still delivering a clear message about time, attachment, and change. The theme also points to how beauty and horror can coexist in death-related art, reflecting the mixed reality of loss. For a modern reader, this visual language offers new ways to engage with mortality beyond clinical information or motivational advice, including through personal rituals, remembrance practices, and curated environments that support reflection. Thirdly, what modern death denial costs us. Another major topic is the cultural shift in which death becomes hidden, outsourced, and death becomes hidden, outsourced, and difficult to discuss. As dying moved from homes to institutions, and as consumer culture emphasized youthfulness and control, many people lost everyday exposure to the realities of decline, caregiving, and grief. This avoidance can have consequences. Fear grows when a subject is taboo, practical planning gets delayed, and mourners may feel pressure to return quickly to normal. The book's broader argument implies that death denial also narrows life, making individuals cling harder to status, productivity, and constant distraction. Without a realistic sense of limits, priorities can become distorted, and relationships can be taken for granted. This topic also connects to how language and ritual shape experience. When societies offer fewer shared forms for mourning or reflection, people may struggle to find scripts for what to say or do. By diagnosing modern avoidance, the book helps readers see that personal anxiety is often culturally reinforced. Recognizing those cultural pressures can be the first step toward a calmer, more prepared relationship with mortality. Fourthly, from fear to meaning, using mortality awareness to clarify values. A practical throughline is that contemplating death can be a method for clarifying what matters. When people accept impermanence, they often become more selective about commitments and more attentive to experiences that feel aligned with their values. This topic focuses on the psychological and philosophical shift from treating death as an interruption to treating it as a boundary that gives life shape. In that frame, choices gain weight, and everyday moments can feel more precious. The book's emphasis is not on constant intensity, but on steady perspective. Mortality reflection can help people forgive faster, express appreciation more freely, and reduce the urge to postpone meaningful goals. It can also encourage a healthier relationship with control by reminding readers that uncertainty is not an exception but a feature of being alive. Importantly, meaning-making does not require perfect serenity. The theme allows room for ambivalence, grief, and fear, while still arguing that awareness can be constructive. By linking death contemplation to values, the book offers readers a route from abstract acceptance to concrete life decisions. Lastly, ritual, community, and new movements in death-positive culture, the book situates contemporary interest in death awareness within a broader revival of public conversation about dying, grief, and memorialization. This topic covers how community practices, educational initiatives, and cultural movements aim to restore literacy around death, including more open dialogue and more personal forms of ritual. The underlying idea is that death is not only an individual event, but a social reality that requires shared support. Rituals, whether traditional or newly invented, can provide structure when emotions are chaotic and can help people mark transitions that otherwise feel unreal. Ebenstein's lens also suggests that modern people can reclaim agency by participating in end-of-life planning, seeking honest conversations, and creating meaningful remembrance practices. The topic highlights the balance between respecting historical traditions and adapting them to diverse beliefs today. It also frames death-positive culture not as a trend, but as a corrective to isolation and silence. By emphasizing community, the book points toward a more humane approach to mortality, one in which preparation and remembrance are normal parts of living. In conclusion, this book suits readers who are curious about death culture, art history, and the psychology of mortality, as well as anyone who senses that avoiding death is shrinking their life. It can also benefit caregivers, clinicians, creatives, and people navigating grief who want a wider cultural framework that validates both fear and fascination. The value is practical even when the material is historical. By normalizing contemplation, the book encourages clearer priorities, stronger presence in daily moments, and more honest conversations with family and friends. Readers may find it easier to plan, to mourn without shame, and to recognize what they want their time to stand for. Compared with many modern titles that approach mortality primarily through personal memoir, productivity, or inspirational coaching, Ebenstein's work stands out for its cultural and visual intelligence. It treats memento mori as an artful, communal technology for living well rather than a private coping hack. That broader lens helps readers see their anxieties as shaped by history and society, which can be relieving and empowering. If you want a thoughtful, aesthetically grounded guide to why death awareness has mattered across eras and why it still matters now, this is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Joanna Ebenstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.